I'd like for you, if you would please, to turn to the 9th chapter of the book of John. John, the 9th chapter. While you're getting that ready, I would like to say is I'm very thankful to have my wife with us here, Debbie, and I'm glad to have a whole row here filled of stones that has joined with us today, and I'm always glad to have our family in the service with us. We're glad to have them, and I don't think we have any more stones scattered throughout. We'll talk about stones a little bit later in this sermon, but these are good stones, okay? That's what I'll say. John chapter 9, let's go to verse 10. We're going to read verses 10 and 11. It reads like this. They asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them, "The man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself.' So I went and washed, and now I can see." Say those four words with me, please. Now I can see. One more time. Now I can see. Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to minister the Word of God. And I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon this sermon, to be upon this preacher, and to flow throughout this audience today. Touch all of us and draw us closer to you. And help us, O Lord, today that we can say when we leave, "Now I can see." I ask it in Jesus' name, and would everybody say with me, amen. This account of John chapter 9 begins with Jesus and his disciples on the road or path out of the temple there on the Mount of Olives. Jesus had just escaped from being stoned to death by the religious people there. He had been confronted by the Jewish sect called the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious experts of the day. And to an extent, the Pharisees were well-meaning people. Some of them were. They studied the law of Moses and knew it as well as anyone, or maybe perhaps even better than most. But with all their knowledge, they found themselves clashing with Jesus. It was their arrogance of their knowledge of the law that provoked their incompatibility with the Son of God. We're in chapter 9. If you go back a chapter, chapter 8, Jesus had been challenged by the Pharisees about his identity. But it was when he and the Jews were discussing Abraham's lineage that things got heated, because the Jews boasted that they were from Abraham's lineage. And Jesus told them, "Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad." And so the Jews said to him, "You're not even 50 years old yet, and you have seen Abraham?" And Jesus replied, "Actually, before Abraham was born, I am." Well, to get the full meaning of that, you have to understand that in Jewish lineage, and in the Pharisaic lineage, way back, God was the only one that could claim that title of the I Am, the great I Am, Jehovah God, I Am. So no one was allowed to use those two words when describing themselves, because to them it was blasphemy. And so the way you take care of blasphemy in those days, if somebody used those two words, you pick up stones and you stone people to death for that. And so in this case, Jesus used those two words accurately and correctly, but to them, they thought he was committing blasphemy. He said, "Before Abraham was even born, I am." Man, what a courageous, lion-hearted declaration Jesus made then. He was actually establishing his authority, his royal inheritance, and his divine power to that religious sect who questioned even who he was. And when he said, "I am," then that's when they start picking up the stones that they could find lying around to throw at him, to stone him to death. But as they did that, Jesus hid himself somehow among the crowd and left the temple area. As he was walking from there, He passes by a man who had been blind since birth. Remember the two words, since birth. You see, in those days, those judgmental Pharisees stereotyped people with physical illness as being sinful. So seeing the blind man, the disciples asked Jesus whether the man was blind because he had sinned or if his parents had sinned. Well, in answering the disciples' question, Jesus said, no, he was not born blind because of his sin. Now think about that for just a moment. Let's clarify that. Jesus said he was not born blind because of his sin, because he hadn't sinned yet. So the disciples asking that question was trying to figure this all out, and they asked kind of a ridiculous question. So maybe he sinned before he was born? And he was born blind because of that. Or maybe he was born blind because his parents had sinned. Now that makes more sense. But Jesus said neither one. He didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. But the works of God will be revealed in him. You know, sometimes suffering is permitted because of God's divine purpose to display his mercy. Amen. And to show that even evil has to give way to the power of God's glory in a particular situation. I say even evil has to give way to the power of God's glory in a particular situation. So, after I've laid this foundation for this sermon for you this morning, I want you to follow along with me as we see this thought, how to develop spiritual insight. How to develop spiritual insight. Jesus knew that the problem about the blind man was that he needed his eyes to be healed. And he had a clear understanding of what he needed to do in the spiritual realm. So what did Jesus do as he saw this man? He stopped his travel and he turned his attention to the needs of the blind man, and he used that attention as a teaching point. The blind man had no idea what Jesus had just been through with the Pharisees back at the temple. As a matter of fact, Jesus had been talking to his disciples as they were asking these questions about the blind man, and Jesus finished it by saying this, "While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." How many of you know this morning Jesus is the light of the world? And so Jesus just kind of leans over and he spits on the ground. He spat on the ground. He stirred up the dirt and the spit together with the saliva, you know. And he made mud, and he took that mud and he wiped it on the blind man's eyes. Who would have thought such a thing? Made mud, put it on the blind man's eyes. And then he said, "Now go wash in the pool of Siloam." Now don't miss what Christ is teaching him and teaching his disciples and teaching us today. Jesus is not merely interested in healing the man's physical eyes, although that's certainly a part of this story. But the deeper meaning here is found in the spiritual aspect of this story and the symbols that Jesus used. He spits on the ground and he forms mud or clay. And he puts that mud or clay on the blind man's eyes. Mud or clay, what does that symbolize? Well, the spiritual significance of it is this, that Jesus knew what the blind man was made of. Jesus knows from the beginning what we're all made of, from the dust of the earth. Dirt. Turn to somebody and say, "Hello, dirt." There's something special about us today, though. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." If you are sitting here in this service today and you truly have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a treasure inside of you. Eternal life is a treasure. Salvation is a treasure. Forgiveness is a treasure. God's love is a treasure. We have this treasure in these jars of clay. Why? To show others that we, as his clay jars, are to give God praise and give him honor. Why don't we, as his clay jars, do that right now? Let's take about 10, 15 seconds, and let's stop right here. Let's put our hands together, and let's raise our voices, and let's praise God together. Could we do that? Hallelujah. Praise God. We glorify you today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man, that feels good to do that, doesn't it? Well, I love this story in the Bible. It's got so much spiritual truth woven through it. When Jesus heals the blind man's eyes, he's teaching that this man didn't just need his physical eyesight healed, but his spiritual eyesight. The fallen nature of mankind today, with its sinful attitudes, with its moral compromises, with its lack of discernment between truth and error, it's in desperate need today of healing by Jesus Christ. This fallen nature of mankind today is in desperate need of healing by Jesus Christ, just like it was back then. Another thing, after Jesus smeared the mud on the blind man's eyes, he instructed the blind man to go to the pool of Siloam and wash the mud off. It was not going to be an easy trip from where he was to the pool of Siloam, because the path the blind man had to walk on was filled with rocks and crevices in between the rocks. It was not an easy path, especially for someone who couldn't see. I want you to remember that the word Siloam actually means sent, S-E-N-T, sent. So what was that instruction important to mean to us today? To see if we'll obey him. Jesus instructed him to see if he would obey him. Jesus may sometimes surprise us with a certain instruction to obey ourselves. Jesus may have a difficult path for you and I to walk on before we get what we so desperately need. Jesus may send you to visit a new neighbor with a dozen chocolate chip cookies to welcome them to the neighborhood. He may send you to go check on someone in the hospital. He may send you to encourage somebody on your job or to speak some encouragement to somebody. God's ways are not our ways. Not always easy, but they are God's ways. God's plan is for us to be more like Jesus. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Jesus had a plan for that blind man all along. And God's got a plan for you all along. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you hope and a future." God's got a plan for you. It was difficult for the blind man to feel his way to the pool, but the man was willing to do whatever Jesus told him to do. Question, are you willing to obey Jesus today? Are you willing to do what Jesus wants you to do today? You see, in order for us to develop spiritual insight and have understanding spiritually, it takes our obedience to the word of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, how do we follow Jesus? Jesus said, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. Follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. And it's only as that process is completed and people come to the place where at last they see who Jesus really is, that's when spiritual eyes will be opened. So this man finally made it to the pool. We're not told how long it took him to get there and feel his way through and somebody lead him, whatever. All we know is that when he got to the water and he washed the mud off his eyes like Jesus told him to do, then was his eyesight cleared up. And he would see for the very first time in his life. He had never seen Jesus. He had never seen his family. He had never seen his friends. He lived in darkness all of his life. He'd never seen Jesus do the miracle works that Jesus did. He never saw Jesus walk on water. He never saw Jesus cast out demons. He never saw Jesus heal the sick. But now he could see his family, his friends, the beauties of God's creation, and even Jesus himself. How'd that happen? It was the man's obedient faith. It was the blind man's obedient faith that pushed him to follow Jesus' instruction. You know, there's a real need in our world today for obedient faith in God and less in human reasoning. We're living in a day of such advanced technology and higher levels of scientific intellect that mankind has ever known. High-speed internet, computers, space weapons, going to the moon, and now they're trying to tell us that before too long, we're going to put a man on Mars. What about the Bible? We've got Bibles everywhere. We got versions everywhere. We have more access to God's Word than we've ever had. Audio Bibles, the printed Bible, the online Bibles. You can get on your Bible app on your phone, and you can go to, is it events? And you can actually pull up what this sermon is saying today. The notes will be right there on your phone. Isn't that weird? Study books, reference books. It's amazing. And we need to be able to not lean so much on the strength of our intellect as we need to lean on the strength of the one who has the power to cleanse our hearts. Our nation needs clean hearts. Our nation is in need of a clean soul. Every once in a while you hear the politician say, America has lost its soul. You'll hear the broadcaster say, America has lost its soul. Yeah, that's right. America needs its soul cleansed again. America needs revival in the soul today, to cleanse us of our sins and to come back to Jesus. And we're living in the last days of time. I don't know if you believe in this or not, but did you know that Jesus is coming again? And he's coming soon. And he's coming for a purpose, and that is to rapture his people off the face of the earth. And those who have already gone on, that were buried and that maybe in the sea, or maybe have already been cremated, or maybe they're buried in a graveyard somewhere. One of these days, Jesus will come with the shout of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain, I plan to be one of the alive and remain, will be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's important for us to believe that and to obey the Word of God. The world says, I believe it when I see it. But God is clearly calling us to believe it without seeing it first, so that we can experience the cleansing power of Jesus Christ and tell others about what God has done in our lives. And that's spiritual insight, friends. Well, as this narrative continues through chapter 9, people see that this man is no longer blind. Those who knew him see that he is no longer blind. His neighbors, his family, remember him as being blind since birth. And they came to the man and asked him, how were your eyes opened? Who healed you? How did this happen? Here's his answer. Well, the man they called Jesus made mud, spread it over my eyes, and told me, now go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I see. That was a glorious miracle. There was a problem. He did it on the Sabbath day. Okay, now watch this. They bring him before the religious leaders who happen to be the Pharisees. Everybody say Pharisees. Yeah, you said it about like I said it, Pharisees. The Pharisees questioned him also, same type of questions, and he gave them the same answers. He put mud on my eyes, told me to wash them, followed his instruction, I washed, and now I can see. Well, they didn't like that testimony at all because they knew who did that. So they didn't want to listen to him, so somebody said, well, bring his parents in. He knows more about him than anybody. So they brought the parents in. Mom and dad came in, and they asked them, is this your son that was born blind? And if it is, explain that now he can see. The parents were afraid of the Pharisees, so they said it this way. We can tell you this much. He is our son, all right. He was blind, that's true. And now he does see, yes, correct. But don't ask us. Ask him. So they bring him back in. And they tell him to give glory to God and don't give glory to this Jesus guy because he's a sinner. And even though the blind man doesn't know who healed him, the Pharisees already knew who it was. By this time, they were all too familiar with Jesus. But what the Pharisees don't get is that the man who used to be blind and is sharing his testimony is already giving glory to God. I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Oh, glory. You don't have to be old-fashioned to sing Amazing Grace, I can tell you that. It's just as new today as it's always been. I once was blind, but now I see, he said. Praise God. That's a glorious testimony right there. Oh, praise God. Take a moment with me. Would you raise your hands and just give the Lord praise right now? Hallelujah. Praise God. I was blind, but now I see. Glory to God. Oh, but then there's another problem that came up. He did that on Sabbath. He did that on their worship day. Some of the Pharisees had a familiar charge. He can't be from God because he's done this on the Sabbath. And others said, well, but how can a man who is a sinner do such miracles? So an argument ensued. A division's now among the Pharisees. So now we see more resistance developing against Jesus. But when I was studying on this, I came across this thought, and it really spoke to me. I found out some of these interesting things. The Pharisee tradition, they had some 39 classifications of work that was forbidden on the Sabbath day. One of the familiar charges against Jesus was that he had broken some of those 39. He broke three of them in their eyes. Let's look at those for just a moment. First of all, Jesus spat on the ground and made mud. The rabbis held that it was all right to spit on a rock on the Sabbath day because that would not make mud. But spitting on the dirt violated the Sabbath because that made mud. And making mud is work. And work is forbidden on the Sabbath day. Now, that's how ridiculous their regulations became. That was one of the first things that Jesus did wrong. Second thing was, the rabbi said it was forbidden to heal on the Sabbath day. They specifically said, if you find somebody with a broken leg, you can keep it from getting worse on the Sabbath, but you're not permitted to make it any better on that day. I don't know of any better day to heal somebody than on the Sabbath day. Wouldn't it be all right if we come to church on Sunday and somebody got healed of an affliction? Would it be all right with you if God performed miracles here on a Sunday service? What's wrong with that? Well, according to them, it was on the Sabbath, so it wasn't right. Third thing Jesus did was to use spit. Everybody say spit. Sounds kind of crass, doesn't it? Spit. Saliva. Another instruction in the rabbinical literature was that spit could not be used because spit can be medicine. You didn't know that, did you? The use of medicine was forbidden on the Sabbath day because that too was a form of work. So now think with me for just a moment. The Pharisees were going to argue whether what Jesus did for that blind man was valid or not was because of what they thought he ought to do or not do on the Sabbath. That's like giving somebody a beautiful diamond and having it rejected because the box it came in was made of plastic or cardboard. Makes you want to go, what? But notice this. Through all of that, in spite of the Pharisees' rejection, the man's spiritual insight was growing. So the Pharisees asked his opinion about Jesus. They thought, well, now the pressure's on, the spotlight's on his face. Now we'll get the truth and he'll deny this Jesus character. So here's what he said. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do anything. Are you just trying to find this out so you can worship him too? It's clear that the Pharisees' problem was not really with the blind man at all, was it? It was with Jesus. Well, when he answered that way, the Pharisees got really upset. And because that blind man, or used to be blind man, would not discredit Jesus, the Pharisees literally have him thrown out of the synagogue. And you know, today, a lot of people are afraid to say anything about the Lord. They're afraid to witness for God because they think they'll be excluded from their group of friends or lose favor on the job or something. And you know what? That's a possibility. I'm just reading in the paper yesterday, the sports page, where athletes that are, when they do this, point up and give God glory during a game or at the end of a game or whatever, they're doing that they're being ridiculed. And they're trying to weed out those athletes so that they can't recognize anything like that. But let me tell you what witnessing really is. Witnessing is simply doing what this man did. Just telling what Jesus did for him. That's all. Once I was blind, but now I can see. That's what a witness is. Listen, my friend, you are the world's greatest authority on what the Lord has done for you. And when you do give glory to God, you will grow in your relationship with God and you will develop a strong belief system. Belief. System. You know what belief is. Belief is linked to divine truth. The Christian life is not built on feelings or impressions that shift from one generation to the next, but Christianity is based on the historical life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that will produce spiritual insight. And yes, Jesus Christ is coming again. We don't need to be embarrassed or ashamed about that. Thank God for spiritual insight. I want to close with a couple of things with you that impacted me and blessed my heart as I read them. As I studied, these two things blessed me. First of all, I want you to notice the progression of the blind man's spiritual insight. Look at this progression. How this seeing man progressed in his understanding about Jesus. First of all, he first mentioned that Jesus is a man, verse 11. Then he mentions Jesus is a prophet, verse 17. Then Jesus is one worthy of following. Will you follow him like me? Verse 27. And then he mentions that Jesus is from God, verse 33. Say this with me together. Jesus is a man. Jesus is a prophet. Jesus is worthy of following. Jesus is from God. Now say with me, wow! Isn't that great? That's the way his sight progressed in his spiritual life in a very short time. Progression of his spiritual insight. And here's the second thing. It came out of verse 35. Here's what it says. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, that the Jews had him thrown out of the synagogue. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, Jesus hunted him up and found him. Listen, friend, Jesus will seek you out. In his mercy, Jesus will find you. He may find you going down the road in your car. He may find you in the store. He may find you in your office. Jesus may come to you in the wee hours of the night. He may visit you in a church service just like this one. But in his love, Jesus will find you. In his love, Jesus hunted for me all the way from Tahlequah in 1969. Followed me out to a little country church out here on County Line Road. And that night, pulled me to the place of prayer at the altar. And he found me. And I poured my heart out to Jesus. And the tears rolled down my face. And I said, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. If you'll just forgive me, I'll serve you, Lord. And I will never forget when I rose up from that old country altar. I'll never forget the joy and peace that washed over my sin-sick soul. And I discovered who Jesus really is. Jesus found me. There's a song. Now, I didn't know Brother Austin was going to use it this morning. I already had it in my notes. But the words of that song says this: there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. It goes on to say, oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the love of God. Whether it is in the form of his crucifixion, whether it's in the form of his reaching out to us. You know, I thought it was really strange, and I'm going to ask him one of these days what this meant. As they were nailing those nails in his hands to the cross, and they raised that cross up and let it fall into that in that hole in the ground where it was prepared for that cross, Jesus cried out, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. Even in his time of death, his love reached out and found people. Crucified between two criminals. And one of them said, if you're really who you say you are, get us off of these crosses. And the other one said, you need to shut up. And he turned to Jesus and he said, probably in his gasping of breath, he said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. In other words, please forgive me now. Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Whatever time it was that you came to Jesus, he told you then, in one sense, today, you'll be with me in paradise. I forgive you. I love you. I died for you. And he found you. And he found me. I'm going to ask the worship team to begin to get ready to do, open the eyes of my heart. Here's a spiritual point in all of this. Verse 35 through 38 says this. And when he found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And the blind man who was healed said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. So when the man who was formerly blind was given sight, he tells of the person that he knew who Jesus was. And as Jesus talked to the blind man, he began to worship Jesus. That's the turning point, friends. That's the turning point. That's the point that we all need to come to today. Now the man is seeing not only with his physical eyesight, now he's seeing with his heart. Because the Lord has opened the eyes of his heart. Once he really knew who Jesus was, once he really saw Jesus in his heart, he began to worship him for who he was, not just for what he could do for him. What if I told you this morning that the reason you need to serve the Lord is not because of what Jesus can do for you, but simply for who Jesus is? Who is he? He's the Son of God. Who is he? He's the light of the world. Who is he? He's your Lord and Savior. Who is he? He's our soon coming King. Please stand with me, please. I want you to think about it today. We all walk through tough situations in life. We have dark times, and they prepare us for a deeper relationship with Jesus. When you come through those dark times, those tough times, you'll have stronger faith in Christ, and it'll cause you to have the testimony like this blind man had. One thing I know, though I was blind, now I see. I can tell you today in this service, there was a time when I was blind, spiritually. But since I've become acquainted with him, now I see. You can also experience spiritual insight. It's time for us right now. Each one of us to reinforce our faith in the power of Jesus Christ. There may be some here today that you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior. I would encourage you to repent of your sins and give your heart to Jesus.